Call meeting to order of the Oceana Community Service District regular meeting Wednesday, July 26th, 5:30 p.m. May I have the roll call, please?
Director Bernay. Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Colwell.
Here.
Vice President Austin. President White.
Here. And I'll go ahead and lead us on the flag salute.
Ready to begin? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Go into the agenda review. Are there any changes in the agenda review?
President White, members of the board, we have modified our recommendations to item 8B. We have provided a modified staff report with the item that has been adjusted in the disbursements. We have removed the payment to the State Insurance Compensation Fund for a total of $4,975.18. This invoice is for an audit for the calendar year ending 2016. We have removed it to do more research on the codes they used for the audit adjustment. This adjustment will decrease the total cash disbursements from $342,105.32 to $337,130.14. And at the appropriate time, the recommendation would be for the approval of staff recommendations as amended.
Thank you. Are there any other changes? Do I have a motion?
Well, I move that we approve the agenda as modified.
A second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries 3-0. We move on to public comments. No. We move on to closed session pursuant to Government Code 54957, performance evaluation of our general manager. Public comment, and seeing nobody coming forward, I propose that we go into closed session. Thank you. Here at 6:45, I will report out of closed session. We had a performance evaluation of the general manager and found that his service had been exemplary for the year. We thank him for his service.
Thank you.
Now we'll move on to public comment on items not on the agenda. The public comment period provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the board on matters of interest within the jurisdiction of the district that are not listed on the agenda. If a member of the public wishes to speak at this time, public comment is limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no... Oh.
Mary Lucy Oceano, I just wanted to thank you guys for doing such a great job. It really, really does show out in Oceano, and organizationally it really shows well, too. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Okay, we'll move on to special presentation and reports, staff reports. Field Supervisor Tony Marciano. Did I get it right? No.
Absolutely. Good evening, Board. Tony Marciano. All right, so we had 6 work orders, 7 USAs, 6 customer service calls. We had 3 after-hours call-outs. One was for 3 unlocks that we had previously locked off after our unlocks. Another one was a house that broke a service line. They didn't know where the shutoff valve was. And then we had a vehicle take out a hydrant this past Sunday on 20th Court. Vehicle was stuck at the location, so we have all the information. We will do an insurance claim also. All right, continued some sewer jetting. We fire flowed for Fairgrove Elementary School for their projects. We relocated a meter on 17th Street for a homeowner. We had a lateral backup with no SSO. We're doing lead and copper sampling, even though we did it last year. The water permit changed for Lopez because they're suppressing pH, so it requires us to do lead and copper this year. And that's going to be an ongoing event until we locate those, or basically contact the 20 individual homes that are on our list and get that completed. We're about halfway done with that currently. We did the yard. We had 108 door hangers, lock-offs, and we had meter reads. And we also got some new handhelds to replace our old handhelds, and a little bit of training on that. And those will be in effect for next meter reads. Any questions?
Questions?
That was great.
Down and dirty.
Done.
Anything?
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
General Manager?
Yes, President White, members of the board. So following up on a couple of the, or one of the particular items that Tony mentioned is the fire hydrant that was knocked off by a vehicle on 20th Court, included erosion underneath the sidewalks, and we don't know how far it went back and whether it eroded underneath the road as well. So I made contact with County Public Works because the damages were not just to our facilities, but others that are within their jurisdiction, sent them pictures and everything so that they understand. And they may take the lead in all of the repairs, including the repairs to our hydrant, hopefully, because having a single claim will certainly be easier than multiple claims. And because of compaction that's necessary with the earth underneath roads and sidewalks, that same soil compaction is necessary for laying pipelines or similar. And so it's almost, hopefully, they'll have a contractor do all the repair work, and we'll coordinate a claim with them. Also, Tony helped. He didn't mention it, but today we had power outages scheduled by PG&E. So we had emergency power brought in, a generator for the fire station. Hadn't been contacted by the sheriff's office, but about 20 minutes after they lost power, they walked over here. So then Tony got one of our generators out of the water yard, brought it in, and we hooked up emergency power for the sheriff's office as well. Then, just as a matter of information, because normally my work efforts are regular agenda items, but next Thursday and Friday and the following Monday and Tuesday, I will be out of state on vacation. But I'll be back in time for the next board meeting. And that concludes my general manager report.
Thank you. Thank you. There's really nothing from the fire department. I don't see anybody here from the sheriff's office. So we'll just skip those and move on to board of directors and outside committee reports. Jim, we'll start with you.
Well, thanks. July 14, Friday, our president, Karen White, was not able to attend the Five Cities Fire Authority meeting and requested I appear on her behalf, which I was glad to do. It was a relatively short meeting. Initially, there was a pinning of our new battalion chief, Steve Whitney, and then secondary to that, we had an out-of-area fire unit that was fighting, I think, the Whittier fire, and they were able to make it back just barely in time to see the final formal pinning of their new battalion chief. They had been working this out-of-jurisdiction fire 24 hours on, then 24 hours off, so they were a bit tired when they returned here to town. Anyway, and so it was really a very pleasant meeting, and we got done what we needed to do.
And as an adjunct to that, we do have a crew now on the, and I'll get it, Mariposa Fire, and they will be staying there. I don't know when they come home, but they're going to have a full 21-day shift, and that's 24 on, 24 off. But so they'll have a full shift, and we don't know whether they'll come back and somebody else will come or not. So, Vice President Austin?
Well, last week I attended the South County Sanitation District, and we had a pretty light agenda. We did approve the billing of the Oceano of our Community Services District ratepayers to go back to the county again for another year. And we also approved a newsletter that'll be coming out, and I think we're going to be sending them. They'll be coming here to go in the water bills in the near future, giving the public the different projects and things that have been completed or in the works over at the sanitation district. And that's it.
And I attended a homeless task force meeting last Friday afternoon, and they are planning what they call a MASH event, and it'll be at the South County Regional Center from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on August 9th, which is a Wednesday. And the homeless are invited to come. I guess there'll be 40 different agencies providing help, everything from social services to haircuts and medical checks, and anyone from our homeless community is certainly invited to go to that event. And it should be hopeful, I hope, to help bring some help to our homeless community.
And I did not attend any meetings.
Thank you. Call for public comment on special presentations and reports. Seeing nobody come forward, we'll move on to item 8, which is consent agenda. That would be the review and approval of the minutes and the review and approval of cash disbursements. And I'll call for public comment on those two items. Seeing nobody come forward, what's your pleasure? And the cash disbursements are to be as amended.
I also have a quick comment on the payroll.
Certainly. Thank you.
Put together? Yeah. So we have adjusted the payroll summary based on the discussion your board had last meeting. This format draws a clean trail for the audit, and an auditor can come in and tick and tie what the board approved was dispersed out. So if there's any more questions, we would be happy to field them, or comments.
That was good, quick work. It was just the last meeting. It was a proposed. Nice job.
Do we have a motion?
Well, I would move that we approve the minutes and also approve the cash disbursements as modified.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries 4-0. Thank you. Now move on to our business items. Again, call for public comment. Then we'll move on to 9A, solid waste update and consideration of a recommendation to provide free disposal of large items during the September 2017 cleanup week.
Madam President, members of the board, this item provides a similar recommendation to cleanup week in September of 2016, where the district helped fund the pickup of the large items from residential customers. Included in the staff report are some statistics that we developed with help of South County Sanitary, Inc., our local garbage company, in terms of how many customers had the different numbers of items picked up. So each large item cost $10, and we have a whole assortment. More people than not, 273 customers had one item picked up at $10, 171 customers had two items picked up for $20, and the list goes on where we had three customers who had at least more than 10 items picked up. And I provide those statistics, and we'll make a point of it in a moment. But also, we had some concerns about people in neighboring communities potentially bringing in large-ish items to dispose of in Los Osos and take advantage of that free charge. Obviously, the revenues that we have available to pay for these costs are ultimately generated from the customers within Oceano. They pay the garbage company, and then the garbage company provides us with a franchise fee. And so the recommendation it continues that we have free pickup for this fall, provided that nothing is being imported from outside of the community. So if we were to find a property owner who allowed somebody from outside of Oceano to dispose of a large item, then they would not get the credit. And I think the likelihood of that is probably pretty low, but I think it's still a good provision to include. And then if approved by your board, the flyer that we will send out will sort of reemphasize that point. In the table, and back to the statistics, the reason why I point to them is the question of, is there a limit on how many large items might be approved? And so what the table really shows is that $5 or 50 items captured almost 95% of all of our customers who participated. Now, even those who disposed of more than five items would still get the first five for free. So if you had seven large items that you were to dispose of, you'd only have to pay for two of them. You'd get the first five for free. And from last year's event, when we take that into account, it covered 92.3% of all of the large items disposed of. So that's really, you know, my recommendation is to, once again this fall, provide the program. If approved by the board, then in the next water bill we would send out a flyer. And the real question is you know, whether or not the board might consider also a limitation like five large items during the cleanup event. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
I like the five-item limit and notifying everybody that that's the case. And certainly everybody would understand we don't want to import a lot of used clothes washers and dryers from other communities.
This is done in other communities also, right? It's just our Oceano is that week, but like Grover has it a different week. And
yes, throughout the county, their program is similar. So I think Oceano is the only community that's helping, though, to pay for the large items.
And that will just go direct. It won't be put out in the newspaper that we're going to pay for large items, or just going to go in the water bills.
That's right. Our advertising is going to be just in the water bills.
Of course, we're seeing.
And then if they call the garbage company, then the garbage company will.
Because I'm all for helping people get rid of these things the right way and paying for them. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Five items is good to me.
This cleanup week sheet here says $10 each, limit to two of each. Would that be two TVs, two washers, two heaters?
Yes, and for the most part, the garbage company is pretty flexible. I don't know of any situation where they've denied people even picking up.
So you can have not two items. It's you can have two TVs or two water heaters and like.
Yeah. Again, they kind of put that in there, but I'm not sure when they've actually limited.
Or two.
Especially in our situation where we're going to pay for them, but. I know at my home in spring, I put out more than two items, and they took it all away. So,
yeah, they're extremely generous about. Yeah. I know in Halcyon, they're very, very kind. Do we have a motion on this?
So we need a motion to.
And I certainly would support the limit to five. You know, if we had never done it before. You know, last year they had 10. Maybe they've only got five this year.
Well, and that's what's going to be, I think, interesting to see. Because in spring, where everybody had to pay for their own items, the number of items disposed dropped off significantly. Well, is it because residents had to pay? Or was it because in fall they had really gotten rid of everything that they needed to get rid of? And I think this fall we'll find out a little bit more. And I wouldn't be surprised if the number dropped off a lot from last fall.
Yeah.
How is this tracked? Has the garbage company tracks it?
Yeah, on a customer-by-customer basis, yeah.
Okay. And I make a motion to approve item 9A, the the general manager's recommendation to provide free disposal of large items during the cleanup week of up to 5 items.
I'd second that.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carries 4-0. I had public comment at the beginning. Would you like to make a comment?
Comment.
I would invite Miss Lucy to make a comment.
You know, I actually have a lot of large stuff disposed of, and one thing that people don't realize is that the oils from their cars and stuff, there's containers in that. They just got to call the trash company, because if you own a home, you know that the trash is getting more and more expensive. I think they bill on a monthly basis, and you're looking at $49-$47 at minimum per house. So that starts to get very, very expensive. But last year, well, I did call for spring pickup because I had a washer and dryer that needed to go, and there's a pickup fee of $12 and then each item. So it cost me like $70 to get a washer and dryer out of there. So is when I've used your program, right, the trash company does take down your name and address, and then they check and make sure that it's covered by the district. Are you sure that it also includes the pickup charge of $12? Because I think it was on my bill.
So for cleanup week, there's no pickup charge. It's just the large item charge.
Do we have to call in advance and say, I have a large
yes.
pickup?
Yes.
Because
yes.
I had to last year.
Yes.
Yes.
So
those guidelines will all be in the mailer that we send to everybody.
So I shouldn't anticipate a $12 pickup charge.
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
And the good point on the oil is that there is free oil pickup. It's a matter of getting the proper containers from the garbage company and making sure to get on their list of properties who want the free oil pickup. And that's just a normal and ongoing program that they have.
They do that all the time, correct?
All the time, yeah.
Yeah. And my bill is $46 every 2 months.
2 months, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's...
Yeah, it's every other
yeah.
month. The other item that I included in the staff report was a letter from Cindy Dahl. And the letter is really addressed to the Oceano Advisory Committee. And the reason why I wanted to include it on your agenda is that Ms. Dahl, and I'm hoping that it's double-sided that you have all the copies. I think in my agenda package
well,
I only have half the letters.
But
what she did is she took a number of pictures from throughout the community of areas of concern in terms of garbage can and trash that's been left out. And we know that that's been one of the ongoing issues that we're working on with the community. She identified county code, and I think that, Ms. Dahl doesn't recognize that it's actually the district that has the solid waste and recycling jurisdiction and not the county. So she might have a little bit of misplaced understanding in terms of the role of the Oceano Advisory Council Committee, and so wanted to make sure that we had that discussion here. But on the other hand, we also know that there's some good opportunities for the district to coordinate with county code enforcement on some of the specific issues. And so like the condemnation that occurred on Pier Avenue, that's an example that if we use both the county and the district's jurisdiction, the county's on land use planning and the district's on the solid waste and recycling, we can tackle some of the solid waste issues even better than what we're working on right now. So on things like condemnation, it's something that, you know, coordination with county and OAC and the members of your board on OAC might help to stress that point. The other one that we've talked about in the past is abandoned cars, because certainly working with the county on abandoned cars would be helpful. And so there are a couple of opportunities where we the community overall can be better served with some specific coordination between the district and the county, and because the Oceano Advisory Committee is the lead on making recommendations regarding county activities, that might be something to talk about at a future OAC meeting. But then the other thing I wanted is that Ms. Dahl probably just simply wasn't aware of some of the new programs that your board has adopted, like the 311 app, where she has pictures and, you know, give her credit for actually identifying issues and taking pictures and sending it in. But when the issue is discussed at OAC again, reminding individuals that if they report these to the district, either by giving us a call or by using the 311 app, the sooner we know about them, the quicker we can address them, and the quicker we address some of the illegal dumping, the better that, the less that it reoccurs.
Well, what can we do about this?
Well, some of it is just mattresses and things that need to be picked up, and which we can, you know.
But this actual dumpster on,
that's part of our responsibility.
On Ocean Street.
The other issue about actual cans being left out. So some of the local agencies require cans to be put away, and they have to be put away in a secure area, either, and sometimes it's, you know, out of sight as well. But the idea is putting the cans in a secure area, especially so that, you know, dogs don't knock it over and drag everything around. And that does, it can be a problem in some situations, and that's one of the issues. Now, that's not in your board's current ordinance. So if the board is inclined to want to consider, you know, that cans are put behind secure locations, then that's something that, again, can be considered. We're going to, in subsequent months, be reviewing the rules and regulations of the district and some of the service provisions. So my recommendation would be to address it at that time rather than having something separate to address it. But that would be the one thing that's not in our ordinance that your board could consider, is that they need to be put behind secure places, and that would help address one of our concerns. But in terms of mattresses and other garbage being left out, the district's current ordinance is sufficiently address that so that we can follow up. If we need to take enforcement actions, we can take enforcement actions.
I'm still unclear with respect to the large bin that Cindy says in her letter is left out all of the time. If that's left out at the curb all of the time, is it our responsibility to get that dumped?
Oh, no, whosoever can that is. So that would be associated with an apartment unit or a commercial development. And so they're going to be paying the regular bill on it. And we didn't research the case specific here, and we can do that. But the idea is that somebody's paying for the disposal of that. Her concern was that when it's left out there in full view, that one, it's unsightly, and the other thing is not so much in that case, but in some of the other cans, you know, that the dogs get at them and they create messes, and, you know, it's sort of undeniable that that is going to occur from time to time.
I don't think a dumpster should be sitting on the street all day long.
Yeah.
But normally the dumpster would be removed from the curb, I would imagine.
Yeah, normally if it's commercial or it's an apartment, there's a place where it kind of gets parked. For us, it's right in the driveway, and there goes behind a, you know, a secure gate. And so,
well, yeah, they definitely need to have a place where this goes, not where it's sitting now, where
yeah.
it just sits out there.
Well, and it gets full of convenient dumpster for people to dump stuff that don't live in the area.
That's what happens in ours, but we have a container, a place for it.
Yeah.
But this needs to have a place where it doesn't just, that's where they dump their trash. I can see why they'd be in.
Is this specific responsibility something for code enforcement or something for us?
No, this would be for us in terms of where do we expect trash receptacles to be placed and maintained. Again, some of the local jurisdictions require that cans are put back away, you know, by the end of the day on pickup day. So some of the local jurisdictions get into a lot of fine rules and what we have to do with these cans. So Again, we can do some of that research, and when we're doing a review of our policies later this year, we can share what some of the other local jurisdictions do. The primary point of bringing it to your attention tonight is because the letter was sent to OAC, and the author had referenced some county code provisions, and so the clarification at OAC is that it's really the CSD that has the primary responsibility with garbage. But yes, there are issues to coordinate with the county on and to coordinate code enforcement on. So we don't have any recommendations for actions on that. Just wanted to make sure to bring it to your board's attention.
Well, does anybody want to talk about having the
I'd like to see our garbage rules and regulations somehow amended to bring this under control where garbage cans have to be put away at the end of the day.
And any kind of a
dumpster,
you know, multi-unit
would not be
complex should have a place not to sit on the street. That shouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, that specific level of detail wasn't agendized today, so we can't take any action.
No, but I say it needs, when we go
back
to our rules and regulations at some point, maybe we could.
Certainly, and then we can look at how do other agencies write up, you know, similar types of provisions.
Yeah. Oceano Clean and Green. Moving on. 9B, consideration of a recommendation to approve resolution adopting guidelines for the California Environmental Quality Act and authorizing the general manager to enter the environmental processing agreement with the San Luis Obispo County Department of Public Works.
Madam President, members of the board, two recommendations relating to environmental compliance. So the resolution adopting the California Environmental Quality Act guidelines is a procedural step. As the district and any other local agency moves forward with projects as they're defined under CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, your board in making discretionary decisions might have to consider a range of determinations, whether it's an environmental impact report or a mitigative negative deck or even categorical exemptions, although I'm not technically sure on categorical exemptions, but the idea is when you make CEQA determinations, the procedural is we should have previously adopted guidelines. And so the guidelines that are referenced in the resolution are the guidelines that are part of CEQA regulations. Your board has discretion to modify the guidelines to some extent, but the other thing that's attached is the categorical exemptions. And that's the categorical exemptions are basically the outline of those types of activities and projects where you don't have to do the evaluation of a mitigated declaration or an evaluation of an environmental impact report. And in reviewing those, if we were inclined to want to have a new categorical exemption, we would have to define it, and then we would have to send it up to the state of California and ask them to add it to the list. In my review of the categorical exemptions, I have no recommendations on things to add. But again, we have to adopt the guidelines as a procedural step so that as we move forward with our capital improvement projects and we have to make CEQA findings, then we've already adopted the guidelines. In some ways, there's an analogy to the plumbing code and the building code that before you can build a house, you have to comply with the building code and the plumbing code. And before you can adopt a CEQA finding, you have to adopt the CEQA guidelines. So that's pretty procedural. The second recommendation, directly related, is the environmental processing agreements with the San Luis Obispo County Department of Works. And I say within limits established by district purchasing policies. And what that means is that right now the general manager has the authority to execute purchase orders for up to $7,500. Anything above that requires board approval. So we would still maintain those limits or as they may change from time to time. So the environmental processing agreements also attached is the resolution adopted by the Board of Supervisors in 2013 authorizing Public Works to provide these services on behalf of other local agencies. And within the Department of Public Works, there's an environmental division. Individuals who have natural resource, they've got a master's, an individual who has a master's in archaeology, but a wide range of environmental professionals. And so on an as-needed basis, the ability to contract with them to do environmental permitting or other environmental work can be really cost-effective. But I want to make emphasis on this is not a recommendation to exclude consultants who work on those efforts. So, for example, if we ever found ourselves in the need of preparing an environmental impact report, County Public Works isn't going to do that. We'd still need to rely on environmental consultants. But where you could anticipate that we would want to work with the county environmental specialists is on those areas where the county already has jurisdiction. So when they're out there and maintaining the roads or working on drainage or flood control projects, they're gaining a lot of knowledge about our local environment and whether or not we have Native American issues that we need to have permitted. Those permitting requirements there is if we have federal funding, which often we don't. But whether it's Native American and State Office of Preservation, or whether or not it's biological or, you know, plants or bugs or whatever it is, when the county is out there working on the levees and doing their evaluations for the Rio Grande Creek levees, and when the county is working on, like, their Air Park Drive Bridge project, or even the Highway 113 Street Drainage Project, they're developing a lot of knowledge that then we can basically, utilize, and doesn't require hiring a consultant to do a bunch of background resource because they already have that and they've done it associated with those projects. And so it's really our utility relocations on Highway 1 and 13th Street that are necessary that we need to do so when they come in and put in the drainage project. Is the one that I would anticipate in the near future working with them on, and I've already talked to them about it. But so in some circumstances, utilizing County Public Works and their environmental resource specialists will be very cost-effective. And seeking your board's authorization, similar to how the Board of Supervisors has already authorized the Department of Public Works. And I'd be glad to answer any questions on both recommendations.
It all makes sense to me, although I was surprised that I didn't even think about the fact that we as a small community district would have to deal with CEQA. I always thought it went up the line. So,
well, and on that point, I wasn't aware of the need to adopt guidelines prior to making other environmental determinations, and it was really following up on the Highway 113th Street project, and yeah, my appreciation for Kate Ballantyne, their environmental resource division manager, as well as Keith Miller, because they then provided us examples of other agencies that have adopted the guidelines, and we were able to use two of those agencies and working with legal counsel to develop the resolution to meet the needs of Oceano. So, again, they did a lot of that background work for us, and make sure to acknowledge that.
I would then make a motion that we adopt the California Environmental Quality Act guidelines as presented.
And that, yeah, it's probably good to take them one at a time because that is by resolution as presented, and that requires a roll call vote.
Well, I'll second it.
Okay.
Now we can call for a roll call vote.
Director Colwell?
Yes.
President White?
Yes.
Vice President Austin?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Passes 4-0.
And then the second recommendation is also a resolution and would require a roll call vote.
Okay. And I would further move then that we approve the consideration and adopt the resolution for our general manager to enter into the environmental agreements necessary with the County Department of Public Works.
Second.
A roll call again.
Director Colwell?
Yes.
Vice President Austin?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President White?
Yes. Okay, passes 4-0. Okay, we move on to number 10, which is a hearing item. Consideration of recommendations to approve a resolution amending and restating resolution 2014-15, which establishes water use regulations during the drought, and to schedule a hearing on October 11, 2017, to consider recommendations on water rate reductions.
And President White and members of the board, as a hearing item, this requires separate public comment. The recommendation in front of you on amending resolution 2014-15, which established the district's water use restrictions during the drought. Similar to the governor's action and the county's actions, that even though it would rescind the emergency regulations, there would still be some continuing water conservation or water use restrictions. The governor's executive order B40-17, which we've incorporated into the modified resolution, I just want to mention real quickly, because it's one of the couple of those items that everybody in California has to just recognize is going to be part of life in the future. And hosing off sidewalks, no wasteful practices in terms of hosing off sidewalks, driveways, and other hardscapes. Washing automobiles with hoses, can't do that unless it's equipped with a shutoff nozzle. We can't use non-recirculating water in fountains or other decorative water features. We can't water lawns in a manner that causes runoff down the street. And we can't do it within 48 hours of measurable precipitation. I'm not exactly sure what measurable precipitation is, but that's the way it's written in the governor's executive order, so that's the way we're keeping it. And no irrigating ornamental turf on public streets. So those are things that in this drought have become sort of the permanent restrictions on wasteful practices in the future. And then for Oceano specifically, we kept in the provisions associated with prohibiting the exportation of groundwater in Oceano outside of Oceano's boundaries. And unless somebody is otherwise allowed to do it as part of the adjudication. But the basic idea is groundwater rights allow you to use it over your property. And what we're doing is saying that your board has and will continue to prohibit it from being exported out of the boundaries and used for somebody else's properties. And we believe that to be generally consistent with the adjudication. And so if the resolution amending resolution 2014-15 is adopted, then in accordance with ordinance 2015-1, we have to come back to the board within 90 days. So that would be October 11th for a hearing to consider recommendations on water rate reductions. And I recently read in the newspaper that one of our neighboring cities had some newspaper coverage because they're reducing their water conservation mandates. But in Oceano, we actually get to reduce water rates. So I don't know what sounds better, but I think the idea of reducing water rates or water rates are going down is a really good message.
I think the public would welcome that opinion.
Yes. So if approved by your board, we're also going to include in the flyer where we're notifying on cleanup week a message that water rates will be going down in Oceano. Now, under 2015-1, the ordinance provides the rate structure that we're at right now versus the rate structure we're going to, and that transition can occur over a period of time of up to 3 years. So how fast water rates go down is a different question. They will be going down. And so at the October 11th meeting, before the October 11th meeting, we'll provide additional information on your agendas in order to show some data. And that data being when the rates were modified in 2015, how much revenues were being targeted, how much revenues were we hoping to collect versus how much revenues did we actually collect. And we know that actual collections were below the target because the community conserved more water than what we had targeted in. We had targeted a conservation factor of about 20%, and the community has conserved during the drought between 20 and 25%. So that higher level of conservation meant that we generated a little bit less revenues. Now, we also know that we've had some development come through that has made up for those shortfalls. But the idea is that kind of data, because the goal is to be total revenue neutral, that water rates are going to go down, but it's in anticipation of consumption coming up. And we know this summer we've already seen consumption coming up, so we want to be able to start presenting that data to your board, because then that is the kind of information we have to track. If consumption in the community in this, you know, now that the drought is over, all of a sudden if consumption went right back up, that 20% conservation went away and people, you know, started using water again, well, then that means that we could reduce water rates more quickly. But if resuming consumption habits was more slow, then the water rate reductions needs to be paced a little bit more. So we'll need to make sure to track that in order to provide some good recommendations to your board on the October 11th hearing. And we just finished reading meters for July. Celia is right now in the process of processing those, and those numbers will be known pretty soon. So we'll compile the July information, both in terms of consumption and revenues, and go back to 2015 and provide some good history on where we've been in order to develop the recommendations again for the water rate reductions. The second thing that I mentioned here is that we also have some contractual covenants, and specifically in the State Water Treatment Agreement, where we have borrowed money through the Central Coast Water Authority to help fund some of the state water infrastructure improvements. There's a requirement in there that our net water system revenues, and that's a defined term, and I've outreached to the Central Coast Water Authority for their worksheets on how they define net water system revenues, because essentially it excludes revenues from new development. It's really our operating revenues, and the simplest description is, how did your operating revenues compare to your operating expenses? And these contractual and bond covenants say that our operating revenues need to be 125% of our operating expenditures. And part of the reason that those are incorporated into bond covenants is to make sure that we have enough cash flow to pay off the debt when it's necessary. But that 25% factor comes in for two different reasons. One is that if some other agency on state water failed to pay their bills, then all the other state water contractors are required to step up by as much as 25% in order to cover the failures of that other agency. Well, in those situations, then, of course, everybody gets together and starts to challenge that agency that's not paying to make them pay. And on the Central Coast, in state water, that did occur in the early years where Solvang did not like what was going on. And so down in Santa Barbara County, they had litigation associated with it, and it resulted in Solvang ending up starting to pay its bills. But that was many years ago, and if anybody from Solvang's listening, then, you know, of course, everything's been more than cured for a long time. But those type of situations do happen, and so in these multi-agency water contracts, the ability to get bond financing on the municipal markets and pay what amounted to on state water was a $500 million project in order to bring in all the infrastructure on the Central Coast in the 1990s. The agencies kind of have to go in at arms around each other and promise to backfill if one of them is having problems. So that's one of the reasons for the 25%. The other thing with the 25% is it gives the bond markets and the lenders more confidence that if we have something that's non-operational, a non-operational expense, like a capital need, an emergency comes up, well, then we've got sufficient cash flow in order to deal with that. So when we come back in October, we'll be doing some of these calculations on how do we compare against the covenants in the contracts. And essentially, this contract provision says that if we're not meeting that covenant, we can't reduce our rates. If we get into a pinch in this particular provision, there's an out. And the out is that there's only about 5 years of debt that remains on that CCWA debt. It's paid off in 2022. We have over $180,000 on deposit because of the district's failure in the past to meet this covenant. And also other money held with the county is that for all practical purposes, there's probably sufficient reserves held by the county on our behalf that would make the remaining debt service payments over the next 5 years. And that would mitigate in the event that that's true, but that we're not meeting this bond covenant requirement. So, again, I think it's important to address it, to show the, you know, make sure we know where we're standing on that. But in the long term, since that debt is almost paid off, it doesn't create a significant concern, or I don't think the district's at a significant risk on that particular item. And the message overall is that, as the district promised in 2015, water rates are going to be going down. And we have some data and calculations we need to perform. We'll provide some of that data on the agendas before October 11th so that there's opportunity to preview before we get into the formal public hearing.
Very good.
Be glad to answer any questions.
I would expect that the conservation rate is not going to immediately rebound the full 20-25%, but it probably will gradually increase over the next year or two. So that may affect the amount of the reduction in the next year.
And I would generally, my expectations are consistent with yours. There's some history in California that after a drought, that water consumption never returns to the prior level on a per capita basis. And even when we look at the overall long-term trend of water production in the Five Cities area, it's been relatively flat for 30 years. I mean, it went up, but it's also come back down, and that's a combination of both municipal and ag. But the idea is after a drought, people have implemented some permanent conservation measures, and unless there's more people that move in, you know, your actual demand will never come back up to what it was. Now, Oceano, prior to the drought, had already reduced its per capita consumption, you know, a fair amount. And so at some point in time, you know, the normal habits are about as low as they're going to get. Again, some people will retrofit, you know, fixtures, and so there's going to be a little bit more. But it could be that prior to the drought, Oceano was already conserving about as much as it could conserve. And that additional amount during the drought, because everybody's super conscientious and taking really short showers or letting landscaping die, it'll be interesting to see how much it actually rebounds. Because communities that were using a ton of water before the drought, they're never going to rebound to their previous levels. In Arroyo Grande, it would be hard to imagine that the per capita usage for Arroyo Grande will ever get back up to where it was. But they had a lot of room for conservation and different set of dynamics in Oceano. So, yeah, we need to track it, and we'll see.
Exactly.
Yep.
Entertain a motion here?
Public comment.
Oh, public comment. Nobody coming forward. I'll entertain a motion.
Well, I would move that as a board we reinstate Resolution 2014-15 and thus have a public hearing on that on October 11 of this year.
Quick clarification, reinstate or restate?
Oh, excuse me, yeah, restate.
Second.
Moved and seconded, all in favor? Oh, no, excuse me, that's another resolution. Excuse me, roll call vote.
Director Colwell?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Austin?
Yes.
President White?
Yes. Carries 4-0. Okay. Receive written communication?
That was primarily the Cindy Dahl letter, and so we put that as part of a regular agenda item.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Future agenda items. I see we have district policies continuing and professional services proposals. Oh, roles and responsibilities with related agencies and our beloved emergency generator. Anything the board needs to add to that? Anything the general manager needs to add to that?
we're staying busy.
And future hearing items, the budget?
Yeah, so the final budget, I think we have to have a hearing item on the last meeting in August.
Okay.
And then we'll add to this list the hearing on October 11th for the water, to start the water rate reductions.
Okay. Is there any other items to come before this board?
I move that we adjourn.
Second. Moved and adjourned. Meeting ends at 7:48.